Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call today. Charlie Steiner on KLAC. Cody Bellinger does it again.
And a fly ball to right field. It's deep. It's on its way. And Bellinger hits another one out. Turner and Bellinger go back to back. And the Dodgers lead 7-0. The rout is on. And we're not even finished with the second inning.
Yeah, baseball has a lot of really exciting young stars, you know that? We really do. Trout, Harper, Bellinger, Seager. Yeah, they really do. I mean, if they can do a better job of promoting them, it'd be great. All right. I was talking about changing opinions. I mean, just in the last 24 hours, my opinion's changed about Sean. No, I'm just kidding. Sean's like, what? But you can... Situations sometimes make you adapt an opinion. And over time, I would, you know, I gave the example of the Olympics. Over time, I really wanted the U.S. to have the Olympics. When it was in Los Angeles, it was great. I loved seeing the Olympics in Atlanta in 96. You know, Lake Placid to Salt Lake City, like, great, to the U.S. But over time, you start to realize certain things, and it really crystallized for me with the Boston bid. When you started thinking to yourself, okay, once they finally started to reveal what the taxpayers were going to have to do, that turned me off. Not the Olympics turned me off. It's the money you have to pour into it to do it. That's why I've been saying, hey, look, build one site for winter, build one site for summer, maintain it, make it a festival to bring the nations of the world together every 2 years. Winter, then to summer. And you maintain it, you invest your money into maintenance. Infrastructure-wise, you only have to do it really once and then maintain that. As opposed to going in and having one city bid against the other, start building venues that some of them are just going to be absolutely vacant by the, when they leave, and you're going to have a tax bill when it's all said and done. And, you know, I don't want a tax bill that burdens my children and grandchildren to host a 3-week track meet. And that's what it comes down to. It's just 3 weeks. And I don't think there's enough investment, you know, enough return on the investment that makes up for that. I am far from anti-Olympics. Far from it. But I am anti how much money you and I have to pay and how much our children and grandchildren may have to pay based on taxes and bond issues and things like that. That's where I draw the line. You know, I've talked about Penn State Pitt. I've modified my position over that based on circumstances. When the Big Ten went from 8 conference games to 9, to me that changed the dynamics. When you have 8 conference games and you have 4 non-conference openings, you have the flexibility, in my opinion, to schedule Pitt 6 times in 10 years. You've got the extra game to do it. But when the conference limits you to three non-conference games, when the conference limits you to three non-conference games, now you lack flexibility. When you have 31 sports, as opposed to what the 15 or 16 Texas has, when you have 31 sports, you need seven home games. And fans may complain about the about games 1 and 3 where you're playing Akron and Georgia State. But part of the purpose is when you play Akron and Georgia State, that gets you to seven home games. And seven home games means that you have greater ease with which to fund all of your sports at Penn State. It's part of the funding formula at Penn State to do that. Now it brings you back to Pitt. Pitt's on the next 3 years. That's fine. But if you want to play for the national championship and you've lost your scheduling flexibility, there's your issue right there. So when you schedule an Auburn, which has a chance to be one of those home run scheduling situations for both schools, that in the second week of the 21 and 22 seasons, people are going to perk up and go, hey, Penn State's playing Auburn. This is pretty big. It's a big deal. I just don't want to see Penn State get into an Iowa situation where Iowa's playing for the Cy-Hawk Trophy all the time with Iowa State. And then Iowa gets ripped left and right for their non-conference schedule because they have no flexibility. When you have eight conference games like the SEC does, that affords South Carolina to play Clemson every year. Both the ACC and the SEC have eight conference games. They have four non-conference games. Georgia can play Georgia Tech every year because they have the flexibility to go out and schedule another big game if they wish. Now, some of you may sit back and say, well, you got three non-conference games, play Pitt every year and schedule that big Auburn game. Can't do it. Because if you do that, you're going to lose the seven home games that you need. That's the issue. If you have eight conference games instead of nine, you can work the schedule in such a way where you always have that and you can play that game. That's the flexibility. So that's what I mean about adapting your opinion on something. And you do have to adapt sometimes based on circumstances. Which brings me to the draft, the NBA draft, and teenagers. I never really have been for high schoolers coming out of high school to play NBA basketball. The vast majority are immature where it's not going to work, physically and mentally. Every once in a while, you get a LeBron James or a Kevin Garnett that can do it. To a point, Kobe Bryant. Remember, Kobe Bryant didn't really start to take off until his third year in the league, which would have been his junior year in college. And but the vast majority can't do it. So you're now one and done. All right. But one and done doesn't really work. When you're sitting there when Miles Bridges at Michigan State decides to come back and all of us are in shock, what does that tell you? It's just the way the game is now. I mean, I can't believe he came back. Now, good for him. I mean, that's fine. That's what he wants to do. That's his choice. But now I'm at the point where I thought it should be 2 years and 20 years of age. 2 years in college, 20 years of age. It's one thing about the rule that people don't never talk about. You always talk about one and done. You also must be 19 in order to do it. The rule is actually 1 year and 19 years of age. Well, it's not doing anybody any good right now. you know, let's face it, you got guys going to school. They do what they need to do in the first semester to stay eligible. I mean, how much work do you think they're doing in the second semester? I mean, realistically, come on. I mean, that's not college. That's not college. Now, the rules for the NBA draft have become better over the years, where you can now go to combines. They've extended the period where you can declare for the draft. Now, that's all been for the better. But, and part of that, too, has been great, is that I would encourage any player to declare for the draft. Anybody. Now, why would I encourage any player to declare for the draft? So you can go out, face comparable talent, and get an evaluation from a professional NBA evaluator. And if it doesn't work, which in most cases it won't, you'll at least go back to your campus with more knowledge in your back pocket. Nothing wrong with that at all. Now to the 18-year-old part. I think 18-year-olds coming out of high school, there are some that are right away will be the Kevin Garnett, LeBron James. There's another part, too, where there are going to be people who are not Kevin Garnett, LeBron James, that are going to get picked. And in the end, even though they decide to go to the draft, and even though they've been picked, they aren't good enough. They aren't good enough emotionally. They are not good enough physically. One of the primary complaints when high school players were coming out was what was called the Jermaine O'Neal effect. Jermaine O'Neal was a high school player drafted by the Portland Trail Blazers. In the first 4 years, he's with the Blazers. And doesn't get a lot done. But they're practicing with him every day. They're working with him every day. And then when he's finally eligible for his first free agent contract, he leaves and then starts to blossom as a player. And that was a big complaint. We get high school players, we train them, we work with them. And then when they're finally eligible to go someplace else, they do. And when they do, they finally blossom and play well. And Jermaine O'Neal played 4 years with Portland. He never averaged more than 4.5 points a game. Okay? Never. Then he's eligible for his first free agent contract. And he signs with Indiana. And for the next 8 seasons, plays in Indiana, averaging 13, 19, 21, 20, 24, 20, 19, and 13.5 a game. See my point? By the time Jermaine O'Neal gets to be 23 years old, he's able to sign his contract where he's older, mature, they've worked with him. And that was a big complaint in the league about what he was doing. So, there's your problem. So this is what I think that, you know, now here's the next part. There are going to be a group of people, there always are, these kids need to be protected. They need to be protected. What's protecting them? Well, first of all, even though I have an idea about that, let's start with this. It's not my responsibility, and it's not your responsibility to protect them. It is the responsibility of themselves, their parents, grandparents, advisors, caretakers, whomever. It's their responsibility to give them advice and protect them. Now, some of them come from bad homes. I understand that. But along the way, maybe it's an AAU coach, maybe it's whatever. There's got to be somebody along the way. But it's not our responsibility, yours and mine, to protect them. They go to the NBA, it doesn't work, and they end up in the D League, and they're still making some money in the D League. Okay, well, okay. Or in Europe. All right? But there is a way to do it, I think. And that deals with the hiring of an agent. That if a player declares out of high school that they want to go to the NBA draft, and then they put their name into the NBA draft but still never hire an agent, and decide, and they don't either don't get picked or whatever, and decide even after the draft they want to go to college, I think their name should be eligible for them to go to college and play. Now, there may not be many spots available. Most schools will probably be at their 13, but not everybody. I mean, take Ohio State right now. They just picked up their 10th scholarship guy. They have three openings. But I'm just saying, that might be a way to protect high school players, where if they go undrafted, the college route, in my opinion, should still be available to them as long as they don't hire an agent. And I think it's the same thing when it comes to established players. Let's pick an established player we know is going to be picked. Caleb Swanigan. I still maintain that, you know, and because there's a lot of established players who won't get drafted. Let's just say, because we know that Caleb Swanigan is going to be picked anywhere between 20 and 40. Excuse me. There's 60 players in the draft. Swanigan's going to be between 20 and 40. He's either going to be a first-round pick late, or he's going to be one of the first 10 picks picked in the second round. Okay? But let's just say he becomes one of the 80 to 100 early entries that will not get picked. Let's just say he falls into that category. If he does not hire an agent, I would still keep the door open for him to return to Purdue. Just a thought. Purdue would have to keep a spot open for him. And they'd have to, you know, so there'd be a little, you know, there'd be a little risk on the part of the school. But if they didn't hire an agent, even go through the draft and not get picked, but if they're picked by a team, if they are picked, the high school player or the established player, if they are picked by a team, as far as I'm concerned, that means at that point, now technically you cannot sign with a club and you go into next year's draft, which is the current rule now. I mean, you can have players that, you know, they don't like the contract they're being offered, and then go play in China, they can go play in Europe, whatever, and then re-enter the draft next year. You can do that. But that's how I would look at it. I'd let 18-year-olds enter the draft. And if they go undrafted, okay, I'd let 18-year-olds go into the draft, not have an agent, and then if they go undrafted, they can go to college. If you're an established player and you still opt to stay in the draft and not hire an agent, and you don't get picked, you should have the option of going back to school. I prefer to see that. Because there's only 60 players picked. This is not the NFL draft with 7 rounds. This is the NBA draft with 2 rounds. So it's a different ball game. Also in the NFL, there is no high school player on the planet that can go from high school to the NFL. None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. Nada. In fact, I don't think there's a freshman that can go from college to the pros. None. Now, maybe once they get to be a sophomore, I can see it. I do like the NFL's 3-year rule where you're either finishing your junior year or your redshirt sophomore year. I think it gives the player the best chance where they've gone through extensive weight training, coaching, and so forth, where it gives them, I think, the best shot at being ready for it. But, I mean, so I like that rule. But there's no way in the face of the earth that a high school player could ever go from high school to the NFL. I mean, just look at the muscle definition of a player after 2 years in a program in college versus what they looked like as a senior in high school. Completely different. I mean, do you really think that, you know, in the NFL? No. Now, the NBA is a little bit different. But I also firmly believe that you can build in something where when the draft's over and say you go undrafted either as a veteran or as an 18-year-old, I think the door to college should still be open. Now, whether there's available scholarship at places, I don't know. But I think that's, again, it's not our job to protect them. But I think it gives a little more leeway on the decision. Now, whether people would agree to that or not, don't know. And again, this has to be collectively bargained. Because right now, once you declare for the draft, you actually put your name into the draft, you're done. Agent or not, you're done. What was it, May 24th was the date this year? May 20th. Once you declared May 24th, I'm in or out. DJ Wilson, I'm in. James Blackham, I'm in. Thomas Bryant, I'm in. Caleb Swanigan, I'm in. Trevor Thompson, I don't know why, in. It's not my job to protect Trevor Thompson. He made the decision all by himself. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Sports Bozo of the Day, which once again I've narrowly escaped here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. By the way, just came down that Phil Mickelson and his the only caddy he's ever had as a pro, Bones McKay. They're going to split. Phil Mickelson's brother, Tim, is going to caddy for him now. Interesting. Bones has been there forever. 25 years worth. Time now for the Sports Bozo of the Day. The Staten Island New York Penn League team is known as the Staten Island Yankees. Now, over the years, you notice that Williamsport, despite their affiliation with the Phillies, they're known as the Crosscutters. The Spikes, despite being with both the Cardinals, the Pirates, and then back to the Cardinals again, have always been the Spikes. You're seeing minor league franchises take on their own identity and their own nickname and not the nickname of the club. It used to be that the parent club, a lot of minor league teams would have the parent club as the nickname. Well, Staten Island still has that. They're the Staten Island Yankees. They're going to be known as the Staten Island Yankees this year. But then after that, they're going to change. Here are the final 5 finalists. The final 5 for the new nickname. The Pizza Rats. The Bridge Trolls. The Rock Pigeons. The Heroes, and Killer Bees. I guess what, the pizza rat? Wasn't there a video showing a rat carrying a slice of pizza through a New York sewer or something?
Yeah, about a year or so ago, I think. I remember that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some things you just shouldn't leave up to the public.
Those are the five that made the cut.
Best sounding one would be number five, sounds like the best one.
Killer Bees?
Yeah, I'd think, but I would think you'd have to go from pinstripes to like black and gold or black and yellow, look like a color of a bee. Or
when the five finalists in Staten Island's Name the Team contest were announced in September, a flood of fan commentary ensued. Some were steadfastly opposed to any name change whatsoever, while others were excited to embrace a more irreverent identity. Pizza Rats, in particular, was a distinct favorite among Twitter users.
Well, that says it all right there. Anybody can tweet anything.
Wow. Now, there's certain names that sound strange in minor league baseball, but actually are not, actually fit the area they're in. Like, take, for example, the Altoona curve. Curve is obviously a baseball term, but the horseshoe curve, trains, is famous in that area, thus Altoona curve. So it makes complete sense. Spike is a deer. Well, it doesn't take much to travel around here and realize there's plenty of deer out here. Now, here's one for you. The Hartford Yard Goats. You're like, Yard Goats? What in the heck? They're a double-A team of the Colorado Rockies. Now, believe it or not, it actually makes some sense. So you're saying, what does that mean? Well, a yard goat, for the uninitiated, is rail yard slang. Those are the ones that used to be the switch engineers or the terminal tractors, that would shuttle train cars between different locomotives or have them change tracks. Right? That was the slang. They were called yard goats. And in Hartford, they have a rail yard. That's why they're the Hartford Yard Goats. It's a very educational show. Now, they did have a Name the Team contest, and Yard Goats won. They also had a Name the Mascot contest. There's a green, and by the way, the colors are the same as the Hartford Whalers. Green, blue, silver. So they have two mascots, a green male goat named Chompers and a blue female goat named Choo Choo. And, of course, Choo Choo Train and also the logo of the goat chewing on a baseball bat. Yeah. Your goats. So sometimes they actually fit the area. But that's what you're seeing more and more. You're seeing more and more of the 160 minor league franchises, people taking on, or towns taking on their own identity. And that way, if they change affiliations, they still have the identity of the club. Hey, look at Williamsport. How many different, Williamsport, for goodness sakes, how many different major league affiliations have they had up there? I mean, that ballpark's 91 years old. They've had affiliations from everybody from the Indians to the Cubs to the Pirates to the Phillies. I mean, it's a long list.
Early 90s, Mets for a bit.
Yeah, Mets. So that's what you're seeing now.
Well, with all these nicknames and stuff, I got to thinking of Scranton Wilkes-Barre. I mean, a lot of people were thinking, they went from the Yankees and they became the Rail Riders because they just wanted to build their own new brand and identity.
Right, and they've been a Phillies affiliate before then until they moved that franchise to Lehigh Valley, got them closer. And you're also noticing that's another trend, too. A lot of minor league franchises are now developing around the parent club. The Phillies have a great situation. Lehigh Valley, Reading, Williamsport. they've got a nice little developmental pipeline where you can really follow somebody through the system. One of the owners of the San Diego Padres a few years ago, a good friend of mine, and we were talking on the phone one day, and he said, look, I got to go in, I got to vote. He said, we're thinking about putting a minor league team about 60 miles from San Diego. He said, there's some people that are concerned in the ownership group that if you put a minor league franchise there, would they siphon off, because the prices are cheaper, would they siphon off from our attendance in San Diego? And I said, no, Rick, it's quite the opposite. I said, what they do is it'll get your fans excited about the prospects coming through the system, and once they get to the majors, then they're going to be more inclined to go. I said, it helps build your brand within a 60-mile radius of your ballpark. And we've seen it over the years where, what, Scranton Wilkes-Barre is close to New York. The Trenton team is the Yankees affiliate in Trenton. You've got Staten Island. The Mets have Brooklyn. They've got Binghamton. The Red Sox have Portland, Maine. They've got Pawtucket, Rhode Island, and Lowell, Massachusetts. So, I mean, they've got three minor league teams for the Red Sox within a radius of, I don't know, how far is Boston to Portland? 100 miles? 80 miles? Nothing. Now, it turns out that this Hartford Yard Goat team does not fit that profile, by the way. They're a Colorado Rockies affiliate. I can assure you, there are the vast majority of fans in Connecticut have no idea that Denver has a franchise. Huh? Who? What? Colorado Rockies? Really? They're in the National League, right? I'd actually be a lot more people in Connecticut that would know that, because the Rockies did play the Red Sox in the World Series in 2007. But, they're taking on their own identity now. I was talking in the previous half hour about high school players entering the NBA draft. I've transformed completely. Let's let them go. You make a mistake, you make a mistake. I mean, that's why they created the D-League. But if you want to put in a protection for them, if they enter the draft and they don't get picked, if they don't hire an agent, then they should have the ability to go to college. I feel the same way about players that don't get picked in the NBA draft. They should have the option of going back.
I will admit, the last couple of summers, I was intrigued to toss on NBA TV in July for that the short Vegas league. So I was just curious to see how Ben Simmons was playing. And then, 4 years back when Mike Muscala left Bucknell to start his professional career, just to just kind of get a feel and vibe as they make that transition over to up there, as they say.
Oh, we were doing the same thing here with Tim Frazier and DJ Newbill. They both play in the NBA summer league, and look how it's paid off for Tim. DJ's been over. I think DJ's been, he's in Europe. I think he was playing in France, I want to say. I may have transferred finally to Italy. But, of course, Tim's with the New Orleans Pelicans. So, you'll get that. But, the vast majority of high school individuals that declare for the NBA draft in all likelihood will get drafted. So this is not going to come into play, what I just talked about. But in the off chance that you have somebody who's from high school and opts for the NBA draft but does not sign with an agent, I think they should still have the option of being able to go to college. Now, somebody would have to be willing to sign them, and you have to have an opening. But most college basketball rosters are not completely filled. It's the same thing with college football. We talk about 85 scholarships. A lot of college football programs do not have 85 players under scholarship. That's how walk-ons, for example, end up getting those valuable scholarships. Hey, walk-on's been invaluable. He's done a great job, the whole deal, so we're going to give him a scholarship. The family's relieved. They don't have to pay tuition. They don't have to pay for the room anymore. I mean, that's really important because, again, most colleges do not have 85 locked-up scholarship players. Yeah, you're usually in the 81, 82 range. They get some flexibility to maybe add three more, usually. Not always, but usually. Same thing with college. You're allowed 13 scholarships in men's basketball, 15 in women, but 13 for the men. And most schools have 11 or 12. You know, some have 13, but most have 11 or 12. So there would be flexibility to do that. Definitely would be flexibility. Because you can run into, let's take a veteran example, Spike Albrecht. Spike Albrecht went into his senior season at Michigan. He played three previous years. He goes into his senior season at Michigan. And he had missed part of his junior year after hip surgery or something like that, if I recall the story correctly. So he comes out of the gate, he goes through training camp, and he plays the first eight games of the season in 15-16. But then he's out for the year starting on, I think, like December 8th or something like that. Well, the early signing period was 4 weeks earlier. And, of course, John Beilein, you know, Spike Albrecht's in his last year, he's out of eligibility. So, naturally, they're counting that as a scholarship they can give out. So they gave out the scholarship. They signed somebody. Well, at the end of the season, Spike Albrecht never played again. He was eligible for a medical redshirt. But Michigan didn't have a scholarship for him. They used his scholarship on somebody else because when they gave it out, Spike was playing. So Spike Albrecht then eventually transferred and played at Purdue last year, this past season. So, I mean, it's happened with the numbers game even in a situation like that before. But it's not our job to protect them, but make it 18. You don't have to go to college. If you don't get drafted and you don't have an agent, you can go to college. The majority that come out of high school and go straight to the draft, the way the NBA works, many of them will get drafted. Harry Giles may have been the first overall pick last year. This year he's going to be around the 12th pick. But Lonzo Ball would have been picked. Josh Jackson would have been picked. Markel Fultz would have been picked last year. De'Aaron Fox probably would have been picked last year. Yeah, a good chance probably Malik Monk would have been picked. And so a lot of these guys you're going to see picked this year probably would have been picked last year. So, I mean, I've changed on that. I was really like, hey, you got to go 2-20, 2-20. Well, guess what? You know, when I mean 2 years and 20 years of age is what I'm talking about. To me, that's best for the NBA, and that's best for college basketball, and it's best for the young man because 2 years of really good college training can make them a better player. I mean, you're going to get to be a much better player playing for college coaching staff than you will playing for AAU. Not even close. Not even close. You have much, much, I mean, exponentially better teachers in the college game than in AAU. AAU, you're out there trying to get noticed. College game, you got to play a game with structure. And I just think that, I mean, that's why I've changed on that. Like, you know, I know 2 years and 20 is probably best for college. I know 2 years and 20 is probably actually best for the NBA. But there is no way on the planet that the Players Association is going to allow 2 years and 20 years of age. They made it plain as day. Well, if it's not going to be 2 years and 20 years of age, then the heck of it. The heck with one and done. Let high school players go in. Let them go in. But I say if they want to go in without an agent and they don't get picked, they can then go to college. But if they hire an agent, that's it. That's all she wrote. So you adapt over time. We'll take a break, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Sean and I were talking during the break. I just don't think sitting in your chair playing video games gets you sales. Yeah. Another emotional tribute to the suit. Oh, stop laughing.
He's just testing out some new digital equipment. That'd be his story.
What, Super Mario Brothers? What?
I think graduated past that. It is more of a Candy Crush kind of guy now.
You know, I know all this stuff. So in other words, I know what it is. But that's about the extent of it. I have never seen it. I don't know why you play it. And I know people play it and they love it.
Oh, there's tons of people I know that play Candy Crush. They're addicted, and I get invites to play, and it's like, nah, because once I start, I'll never stop.
I don't even know what it looks like. Well, maybe on TV I've seen, you know what I mean, a commercial for it.
There's been on. Yep, they've had some.
Mm-hmm. I just think it has the ability to crimp digital media sales.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.